have only going to teach a couple last week and then this week on this particular issue, and then I'll begin another study next Wednesday night. I'll be changing all the series I've been preaching on in the next week or two. All three that I've been in for a while. I'm going to be doing some expository teaching on Sunday nights real soon. And beginning this Sunday morning, we're going to be teaching on God's design for men and women. And this is a messed up world, man. People can't figure out what a man is, what a woman is. But so we're going to teach on some of that on Sunday mornings for a while. So I'm going to start working on that actually after church tonight. I'm trying to get some things done. Man, I'm tired tonight, I got to tell you. If I fall asleep, just come on up and wake me up, all right? Actually, you could just leave me asleep, and just some of you, but you'll do a fine job, so don't worry about it. But anyway, Romans chapter 10. Now, last Wednesday evening, I started a lesson on how to share your faith without an argument. And I think I mentioned several things, but I mentioned our part is to give the gospel. God's part is to draw that sinner to himself. That's up to God. And then thirdly, the sinner's part. The sinner, if he is to be saved, must respond to the gospel favorably. Then I mentioned some hindrances we face, but I'm not sure how to guide. This is probably the biggest hindrance that I think I hear. Pastor, I'm not sure how to get the discussion to the scriptures or to the spiritual. So how do I do that? I'm going to answer that like this. Ask questions. The best way for you is you're trying to share your faith with somebody to get this conversation to the spiritual or to the scriptural, which was our last verse, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You've got to ask questions. But I want to go back in this text. And verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So anybody is a whosoever and they can be saved, but they've got to call upon the name of the Lord. But it says, how shall they call on him, verse 14, and whom they not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? So they've got to hear. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, I know you're not preaching from back here, but you know, when you go out there, you're preaching. And you're sharing the gospel and sharing the word of God with other people. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, we try to send you out there a couple times a week to win someone to Christ. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so then faith cometh by hearing. Skip verse 16. Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you've got to get to the scriptural. You've got to get to the spiritual part of the conversation. So the best way to do that I'm aware of is to ask questions. And when you ask questions, and here's why I think it's a good thing to do. It allows people to express their views. Everybody has an opinion. And you don't have to talk. I mentioned that last Wednesday. You don't have to talk over them. You can just allow them to express their views. And all the while they're answering your questions, you should be listening. When you ask a question, don't respond with your own answer. Ask the question and listen to the sinner talk. Or never, ever put down anybody or put down what somebody means. I remember this evangelist was out going to talk to my late wife's sister, Marine. And they were over. We weren't married even at the time yet. And so he went over there to witness to her. And he began to ask her what type of religion she was in. And she says, well, right now I'm a practicing Mooney. There's not too many of them around, but she was a practicing Mooney. And the evangelist goes to her, just like that. Well, that went over real well. And he didn't get the chance to witness to her. So don't do that. You say, well, what if they say something and I just know it's wrong? Yeah, let me give you some advice. Grin and bear it, all right? That's all. Just listen to the sinner speak. If someone says, well, I'm an Islam and Muhammad is my savior and Allah is my God. Now you're ready to choke the guy or the girl. Okay, but don't. Just listen and let them share what they believe. Never put anybody down. Once somebody says, I'm going to be, maybe they're going to say something like, I'm going to be reincarnated. Or if they say, death ends it all. Here's what happens. We are tempted to jump right in and respond. But try not to do that, okay? Try to back off. You're going to get to that point, Lord willing. But don't jump on them like ugly on an ape. Okay, just kind of back off a little bit and just kind of, you know, control yourself. Now, these are some questions, and by the way, don't act like you're attacking them. They never come across as attacking. which is kind of what I felt like the evangelist did with Marine when he just, you know, and like this, you know. Anyway, so I use questions like this. You can do this. Do you go to church? Do you happen to have a church? You go anywhere to church? Then you listen to them. Then, or you might say, you might see a mom in a store with two or three kids. And you might ask her, hey, where do you take your kids to Sunday school? And she may tell you, well, we don't go. And, you know, we've kind of been thinking about that a little bit. But we, well, you know what? We have a Sunday school department. Let me tell you a little bit about it. And so you begin a spiritual conversation. I use this question a lot. I don't know why. I just use this question a lot. Where do you worship? I don't use the word church necessarily. If I do use the word church, I always say, which one? And I'm just listening. If they tell me Roman Catholicism, if they tell me I go to the local mosque, if they tell me I go to the Watchtower, I don't even know what they call their churches, but whatever. If I go there, you know, I'm listening and I'm coming up with a conclusion in my mind that maybe this person isn't saved. Then you may want to ask, instead of that particular approach, you might want to say, hey, let me ask you a question. Maybe this is somebody you're working with. Do you have any kind of spiritual belief? Any kind at all? And they may speak some. They may say, yes, I do, but it's none of your business. Okay? That's kind of like they just closed the door, okay? So, and that's fine. You know, you don't have to, no, I know what I'm tempted to say. Yeah, well, one day you wished you had the right kind of spirituality going on, but, you know, you can't say that thing. So here's another question I ask quite often. To you, who is Jesus? I ask that question a lot. It's a non-offensive question, and I'm not going to talk a lot. I'm just going to listen. Now, their answer may reflect a personal relationship with him, but there's a good chance that their response won't. They may say, well, I know he died on the cross. Then you might ask a question like this. This might be some other approach question you use. You think there's such a thing as heaven or hell? Now, that's a safe question as well, because it's intellectual. You're asking their opinion on something intellectual. Then you might ask, if you died right now, where do you think you might go? If they say heaven, you know what your next question is? How? Or why do you believe that? That's all. And all the time you just listen for a biblical testimony of salvation. Our first class in Bible class this school year, I teach upstairs with the seventh grade on up, and I wrote two questions on the whiteboard. The first question was, to you, who is Jesus? I wanted to listen and read the responses. The second question I asked, I think it was, write out your salvation testimony. So they did. But I'm going to tell you, and Gina, you might as well listen. All those kids aren't saved. Their testimonies are weak at best, and they're not biblical. Now, one girl went on about some experience that she had, and I'm like, what in the world? It had nothing to do with Christ. There was not a word about Christ in there. And some might say, well, he's my guide. But there was really nothing solid as far as a biblical testimony of salvation. And so when you ask somebody, to you, who is Jesus? Now, I'd like to think if I asked you that, you would say, he's my Lord and he's my Savior, and I received him as my Savior when I was 21 years old, and now he's my everything, and he's my guide, and he's my direction. He's all that I have. Something like that. But some of them didn't do that. Now, when you ask to you, who is Jesus, that really gives them a chance to give a biblical testimony of salvation. I ask this question a lot. If I were God, and I'm not, why should I allow you to enter into my presence? Or why should I allow you to enter into heaven? And I'm just listening now for their testimony. More often than not, I'm a good person. I do good. I'm a good mom. I'm a good dad. Now, you know what they just told you? I'm not saved. Because they're trusting themselves and their work. So they're just telling you they're not saved. So I'm just listening. And then I ask this. If what you believe were not true, would you want to know the truth? Now, a lot of times, there's only two possible answers to that question. Yes or no. I guess you could say a third one, not now, which I've had some people say, not now. Now, if they say yes, you know what you do? You go on. If they say no, you know what you do? You stop. Because that's not your problem. I think some too many people take that too personal. Now, you might feel heartbroken for them, but and I'm not trying to sound cold, but that really isn't your problem. You'll vary your approach. Recently, a lady was him-hawing and round. I was trying to witness to her. And she was like, I think she was trying to come up with an answer, and she didn't have a clue what she was talking about. So finally, I said to her, I said, if you were to die right now, are you 50, 75, or 100% sure you go to heaven? 30%. That wasn't even one of my options. But anyway, she said 30%. I said, well, let me ask you something. If you could know Christ as your Savior and you could know heaven was your home, would you want to know? And she said, yes. So I began to reach for my Bible. And I said, and I don't usually say, I ask, but I start reaching at the same time. You know what I mean? So I said, can I show you some verses out of the Bible? Sure. Now, it's at this time we finally got to verse 17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So now we've got to the scripture. And this is also the same time her kids got to come out and interrupt everything. Now that's what the devil does, okay? Because he knows what's going on there a lot of times. He's not all-knowing, but he can't be everywhere present either. But he's got demons and helpers around and things of that nature. But sure enough, here comes the kids. So I took my Bible and went through the plan of salvation with her. But you just have to learn how to ask questions and sit back and listen. That's all you got to do. Your questions are just probes to see the heart and where the heart is in a relationship with Christ. The whole idea of the question is ultimately, in all the different questions, and you can vary them and you can use your own. And by the way, if you have your own approach and it works for you, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just do what you've been doing. But a lot of people tell me that's the hardest thing they have to do is get into a spiritual or scriptural conversation. And I'm telling you, the best thing to do is get a whole bunch of questions. And that's all the question is. It's a probe to get to the heart, because the whole idea of the question is ultimately for you to get to open up the Bible and share the Bible with them and the gospel with them, because the power is of the Spirit and of the Word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. After the approach, and every now and again, you'll get to open your Bible with somebody. The second thing then is the Bible. Now, most of you here can witness. It's a Wednesday night. Most of you can. But not all of you probably are overly confident with it. Can I just say, just start with a simple Romans Road plan of salvation. Pastor, is that what you use? Not all the time, no. As a matter of fact, I very rarely strictly to the Romans Road. But I use John 3 a lot. I use Acts 20 a lot. I use Acts 26 a lot. It depends on where I am in the circumstance. But there are a few things that you've got to get the sinner, the person you're witness to understand, and this, they got to understand they're a sinner. So I almost always start with Romans 3:3 or Romans 3:10, but there's an exception to that. Nobody can know for sure when they die they're going to go to heaven. So what's the passage of scripture you would turn to then? 1 John 5:13, right? So you'd open up and you'd say, no, and you always want to do this. Let me take a look at this. If it's a kid, I usually say, can you read? I don't ask that to adults. All right, that's not one question I ask. I just assume they can. But anyway, because it would be embarrassing for them to say, no, I can't. So if they don't start reading it, but I'll say, look here. And I'll let them look at the Bible while we're reading it. And I suggest you do that. Because those aren't your words. Those are the Bible's words. Those are God's words. So you show them, for all have sinned and come glory short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one. And sometimes I read verse 10, 11, 12, and 13, and then verse 23. I don't do that all the time, but I do that sometimes. There's some hard verses in there, man. But I'll read them sometimes. Then you say, well, then where do I go to next? Eventually you'll get to where you don't have to do this. But if you've never really opened your Bible, so let's say you've got a marker at Romans 3:23 or 1 John 5:13, because you might start in one or the other. Well, next to that verse,
to next.
So just write Romans 6:23, and that'll say the wages of sin is death. All you have to have is a starting place, and then you have your own little chain reference Bible, whatever your last name is, reference Bible. You know, Thompson's got one, Thompson Chain Bible. So you make your own little chain Bible, and you've got a reference there, and then you go to that reference. And then if you're going to stick to the simple Romans road, then you'd go to Romans 5:8. Now, where it says, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Usually before I turn there, I ask this question. Why in the world would God want to let a sinner like you into his presence? Some people can actually answer that because he loves me. But you know, not everybody can answer that because he loves me. Maybe they've never thought about it. The other thing is, a lot of times when you get to that point, for some people, not all people, but for some people, to hear that God loves them is like a revelation, man. That just it just opens up their heart and opens up their eyes. And then, but look at Romans. Well, see, you're in Romans anyway, aren't you? Turn back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. There's something else this verse does for me. It says, but God commended his love toward us. I mentioned the love. But this is what it does for me. And that while we were yet sinners, God loved us even though we're sinners. But look at the last four words. Christ died for us. Now, when I read that, it triggers my mind to share the gospel. I just have to read that or quote it. Do you know that Jesus died on the cross? Now, I can tell you there's two men in my life that I was witnessing to. One of them got saved, one didn't. They never heard Jesus died. Then one guy got saved, and I discipled him, and I got to the lesson on the second coming of Christ. This happened to me twice. John Conley, some of you might remember the Conleys, they moved out to Wisconsin, but I was discipling John, and he looked up at me one day. We were talking about Jesus coming. He says, are you trying to tell me that Jesus is coming back to this earth again? I said, it's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. He shakes his head. He goes, I ain't never heard of nothing like that before. And I've had another guy tell me the same exact thing. But back to what I was saying on those first two guys, neither one of them knew nothing about Christ. One guy says he was going to come to church. I don't think he was interested in the Bible. I think he was interested in young girls. Maybe he could find one at the church. That's honestly what I think about this guy. But anyhow, he says, what do I wear? I said, just wear something nice, whatever you got. What do I bring? I said, nothing. Do you have a Bible? No. I said, well, then don't bring anything. I asked, what do I do here? What are we going to do? Finally, his name was Randy. I says, Randy, have you ever been in a church? He said, no. Now, here's a 26-year-old man in Camden, New York, he lived. I said, you've never been to church? No. I says, you've never been to a church for a wedding? No, never one time. You've never been to a church for a funeral? Nope. You've never been in any church ever, never once in your entire life? No, I've not. By the way, about two summers ago, I gave a guy a Bible, and he was 35. And he's looking at this Bible. I mean, this is what he's doing. And he says to me, you know, Pastor, this is the first Bible I've ever owned in my life. Now, this is in America. Never been in church. People have never had a Bible. If he's never had a Bible, you know he's never read the Bible. They don't know anything about the Lord at all. And so anyway, he didn't know what to do. So, but here, you can begin to talk to people about the work of Christ. Those two men, they didn't know Jesus died for them. And then he was buried. And then he rose from the dead. Now, several people, I asked this morning. Can a person know that Jesus died and was buried and rose again and not be saved? Yeah, all of us Catholics all knew that, and that none of us were saved. You can know that and not be saved. But I at least talk about the person and work of Christ. Now, that triggers my mind to do that. Who is Jesus? I tell people all of this. Jesus is God. I was witnessing to a teenager recently, this past summer, when we were doing some vacation Bible school visitation, and there was two teenage boys sitting there, and the one teenager says, he's not God. I said, yes, he is. Now, if I would have never asked that question, made that statement, Jesus is God, I could have gone right on and led him in a simple prayer. But when I said, so when I talk about the person and work of Christ, I say Jesus is God. He has never sinned. Jesus never sinned. Well, he had to at least do something wrong. No, he never did anything wrong. He never said anything wrong. He never had a bad thought. He never did anything wrong. They need to know that Jesus is sinless. You say, you think they need to know all that? Yeah. Why not? Why wouldn't you tell them Jesus is God? They could be believing in another Jesus, according to Paul. So anyway, I tell them that. I tell them that Jesus died and shed his blood. He gave his blood as a sacrifice for our sins. I always tell them. Those are three things I always tell. Then there's some other things I might say. Once in a while, I even say, and he's coming again, by the way. Which you don't need to mention that, but I mention all that. And then the next reference if you were just using the Romans Road, might be Romans 10, where we read 9, 10, and 13. And a lot of people use that, and it's a simple solution. Romans 3, Romans 6, Romans 5, Romans 10. You can give the gospel. Now, you're going to, once you learn that, you'll expand. I use John 3 a lot. I use John 3 with almost every Catholic I witness to. Because I always thought the word born again was taboo. Until I realized the one who said it was Jesus himself. Then I said, well, it can't be that bad if he's the one that said it. That was the verse, John 3:3 and John 3:7 were the verses that God used to get a hold of my heart when I was born again. You might use John 14:6 because they're going to say, well, you believe that and you believe this. And it's all going to pan out in the end. We're all going to be okay in the end. No, we're not. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you might use that verse. You might use Acts 4:12. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might use Acts 21 or 21:20 or 20:21. God said, repent and believe. If you use the word repent, explain it biblically so they understand. Now, and that's how you remember where to go. You just write it down in your Bible and you have them read it so they're reading the Word of God. Now, when you open your Bible, for instance, to Romans 3:23, because if you say something, they might say, well, that's your interpretation. So you might say, well, you read this and tell me your interpretation. Now, how many different interpretations can you get of, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? You can't come up with too many more on that one. So let them do that. They may have heard the phrase born again, but they may not have a biblical understanding of it. If they think they're good, you turn to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but you'll learn all those things. But one of the most difficult things for some people to believe sometimes is this. They can be forgiven. God can forgive you of your sins. That touched my heart. Titus 3, 5 and Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 talks about good works don't save, but God can forgive you. If you think you need more help, then get a gospel track out there. I highly recommend you pick up God's Simple Plan of Salvation and learn it. But there's other objections you might face when you go out there. You might even say you will face these. Someone says, well, I'm not now or I'm not ready. You know what you could say to that? How come? Why not? Why not now? Or why don't you think you're ready? Or somebody might say, well, I got to think about it. You could say, okay, but why? And all you're trying to do there is to get them to think. You say, why? You might say, why not? Now, somebody says this, I've always believed in God. What are you going to say? The devils believe also, James 2:19, I think, and they tremble. I've heard this a few times, not a lot. What are my family and friends going to think? Well, you say, I wouldn't worry so much about them. What's God going to think? What's Jesus going to think? Or, that's not really the issue. The issue is, are you ready to accept Christ? Others say, well, I just need to work my way to heaven. That doesn't work. Lead to another statement. They might say, well, you know, there's errors in the Bible. This is a simple solution to that. If somebody denies the Bible, you're going to have a hard time winning them. But I have done this. If nothing else, it shuts them up. Show me one. Just show me one. That's all. They can't. You know what? Where they got that phrase from? They heard somebody else say it. They didn't come up with that themselves. So now, and they're probably, you know, trying to pretend they're a scholar, but they're not. And we're not either, but show me one. That's all. But that'll usually shut them up anyway. But it might get them to thinking. Now, What that is, there's errors in the Bible. It's a practice defense that they are giving you. So you'll hear a lot of things, but the more you witness to people, the more you'll grow. I got to tell you this story about myself. I was a young Christian. I heard someone say, my pastor say, you need to witness. Okay, I guess I'll start witnessing to people. So I started witnessing to people. And I didn't know what a Jehovah Witness was. I didn't know what a Jehovah Witness believed. I didn't know nothing about that stuff. So somehow I got talking about Jesus being God and all that. And the lady says, well, Jesus isn't God. There's all kinds of gods. Well, I was thinking idolatry. I didn't know that she believed that Jesus was a lesser God than the Father. And they don't believe in the deity of the Holy Spirit either. So I said, well, you can make a God out of a boat, and you can make a God out of a camper. You can make a God out of anything. But that wasn't at all what she was thinking. I didn't know nothing. But, I was trying. I was trying anyway. But eventually you learn. And you just, but to get to back to our original question, you need to ask questions. Just ask questions and sit back and listen. Listen to the sinner. And just keep, and then eventually God will give you some discernment. You can figure out where their heart is and then get down to some, get into the Bible. And that's the whole point of it. Now, Lord, I pray that it helps some people with some ways to approach people they want to witness to. It might be a friend. It might be a family member. It might just be somebody at a store they bump into. And just to bring up a spiritual conversation. I know we pray for opportunities, and I believe you give us opportunities. But I don't know that we always take advantage of those opportunities. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would give us a holy boldness and a compassion and a love to see lost people saved and courage to be the preacher out there where we're supposed to be, winning people to Christ, sharing the gospel, doing all we can do. And we know it's a work of you. We know it's a work of your word and a work of your spirit. We understand that. But Lord, you use us. We have our part. And I pray you will. And just give us some encouragement tonight. Give us some maybe some other approach questions that we've never thought of ourselves before that we could use. And Lord, help us to reach lost and build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that'll help some.